Hi, my name is Govind Jayaraman, and this is Paper Napkin Wisdom. Today we have Joao Mucciolo. Joao is an incredible entrepreneur. He is a founder of two restaurants in Nicaragua, and he's grown his businesses to be the change he wants to see in his entire country. Really inspiring leader, really inspiring man, an exciting entrepreneur. Let's listen to my conversation with Joao.
Joao, welcome to Paper Napkin Wisdom. Thrilled that you could join me here today.
Thank you, Govan, for having me. I'm very excited to be a part of this.
So you shared with me a really interesting paper napkin. And I'd just like you to read it out loud for everybody that's listening. Would you mind reading it out loud, please?
Okay. Every day I will try to make you proud. Love is all. Nothing else matters.
So, you know, it sounds like a really interesting paper napkin, especially coming from someone who's, I mean, you've grown your business in Central America in a huge way over the last several years, and you're expanding in the restaurant business. That's not something that's the prototype, right? When we think about Central American businesses that are expanding, it's not domestic-based businesses. So I found your paper napkin really interesting, and so let me ask you, why did you share that with me today?
Well, I guess the reason I've grown that business the way I've made it grow, and yes, you're right, it's not very common here in Central America, especially Nicaragua, since it's a very poor country. But the reason why I want to make somebody proud is the way I put a lot of effort into growing my business. And just so you understand why I put that in the napkin. When I was 16 years old, I was living here in Nicaragua. My parents were the ambassadors of Brazil here in Nicaragua. So I'm Brazilian. My parents were Brazilian. And when I was 16 years old, my parents had a airplane accident, and they both died when I was 16. So I was in a foreign country, a week shy of starting my senior year in high school, and when this accident happened. And I cried for about 1 week. I was torn apart, of course. And after the week, I had to start my senior year in high school. And I decided, I told myself, you have to get up and get going. One, because you need to start your life. You know, you have to eat, get educated, and get a job or start your own thing. And the second reason was that I wanted to prove my parents that in those 16 years, they really did a good job on raising me as a good person, you know. So that's been my drive since I was 16. Every time I go into something or I'm going to do sports or anything, I have that in mind, that I need to make them proud every day.
Well, that's amazing. First of all, Joao, thank you for sharing that with me. I know that's a very personal journey, and I really appreciate you sharing that. I think it's really profound, right? When you think about every moment of every day, and what you're saying is every moment of every day playing to some higher purpose, right? To something greater than you.
Right. Well, yeah, it's tough. You know, I'm not an angel or anything. You know, sometimes I do some bad things, but it just makes it easier to know that, you know, somebody's out there looking at you. And so when you have that in your mind, you know, you're trying to give 150% in anything you do, you know, personal, business, community. So yeah, it's a good way to have some drive, you know. It makes you drive and do good, you know, better things than most people do when you have that in mind.
Yeah. Now, let's. You had a life-changing event occur to you at 16 that forced you to to come to terms with, you know, the values that your parents have taught you and use that moving forward. Not everybody has that kind of a dramatic event. You know, what would you say to them? You know, what should they take out of this?
Well, I guess it's unfair when people don't have a dramatic event. You know, I wish this never happened to me. You know, I wish I had my parents. I wish I had an adult conversation with my parents. But I would love to see what would happen if I would have the same drive if this life-changing event didn't happen. But what I would tell somebody or anybody is don't wait that to happen. You know, I have this this thing that I can hold on to so I can go up further, you know, and push forward a little bit harder than most people. But so I would tell them, don't wait till a dramatic event happens. You know, life is pretty short, and we should squeeze the juice out of this life in every second that we have it. So don't wait for something to wake up. You know, wake up right now and let's get going.
Wake up right now. I love that. And I think that's really profound when you say don't wait for this life changing event to happen to change your life. You don't need the thunderbolts and lightning. You can do without the crying and just change your life because you choose to.
Exactly. Why wait? You know, you know, right now is happening as we speak. So let's do it. Let's get on it.
Because it sounds like, I mean, ultimately, after, and I can't even imagine, you know, after getting over the loss of your parents, not even getting over, I mean, I'm sure there are times when you feel like you're still not over, but after that point when you decided to take a hold and control where you're going to go next, and that was a choice, right? That was just a decision.
Yes, definitely a decision. And yeah, you're right. You never get over it, you know. But you learn to live with it. You accept. I'm a very religious person. I'm Catholic, so I've learned to accept whatever God tells me to do. That's the way it is, you know. That's His choice. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's amazing. So you made this choice, and you set on this journey. Now, I know that in business we talk a lot, and you and I have spent time at the Entrepreneurial Masters Program, the Entrepreneurs Organization. We talk about core values, but you sort of had to derive your own core values and remind yourself of what your parents taught you at a very young age. Is that one of your drivers? It's almost, you know, how you behave when no one's watching kind of thing. Well, that's always in your life. That's always present. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, the values that my parents left me, you know, I have them very deep inside of me. But also this, as you go, your values grow even stronger. You know, you keep learning. Life keeps teaching you things, and so those values, they grow stronger, and you start growing actually newer values as you go along. And yeah, I think decision has a lot to do with it. You know, it's a choice that you make, or either I'm gonna live this life 100%, or I'm gonna let this life just kick me around and do nothing. So yeah.
So now you have not just one, but two high growth restaurants in, you know, in a Central America country that by every standard is considered to be, you know, less than average in terms of economic activity. But both those companies are growing. How central has been, you know, your conviction, your strength of leadership around who you are to the company's growth?
Well, I would think it has everything to do. Nicaragua is a very poor country. It's actually the poorest country in Latin America. the second poorest in the Western Hemisphere. Now the country is growing, you know, there's no other way to go but up when you're this low. So that helps a little bit. But, the way, the passion that I have to grow my business, to do my best, to teach people that we need to work harder in this country, especially in order to get ahead, I think that definitely has something to do with the growth of my company. Mediocrity is not something I permit or something I accept. So I'm always pushing people to do extra. Education here in Nicaragua is a big factor. There's not much of it. So a lot of people that we hire come from, you know, very poor families, not much education. So you have to get these people, teach them everything they need to know, and you need to push them extra hard and motivate them in a way for them to really wake up and get moving. And so that drive and that passion I put into my business, I think it definitely has something to do with the growth we're experiencing.
And has it actually helped you attract talent? I mean, in a country that's impoverished and you're talking about education being a challenge at best, what, you know, keeping good people, getting good people and keeping them must be a real challenge, right?
It is. Finding right people, good people, is extremely challenging when most of the people are not well educated. Now this drive that I ask them to give that extra drive, it goes both ways. Some people are not used to it and they say this is too much for me and they leave. But then other people really relate to this and they see the restaurants as a vehicle to, you know, get out of poverty and actually you know, get educated, get a good job, grow within the company. So and it's a cultural thing as well. Nicaraguans have been dormant for 30 years of war and poverty. So they're not used to getting their hands dirty and you know, and just getting out of poverty. They're just waiting for, I don't know, international help to put some food on their plate. But that's generalizing, of course. There's a few that actually, yeah, you know, they realize that they have to work and work hard in order to get their families out of poverty. And those are the people that usually stick around in my company.
So how do you test for that? I mean, have you developed tests for that? Is it possible to even, you know, figure out whether or not this is going to be a hardworking person or this one's going to be a passenger?
We've tried different ways to find out, and what we're trying now is just seeing if they're a good fit with our values. We wrote down, you know, our mission and our values. We're trying to implement that very strongly in our company. And now we're just trying to hire people that really seem to adapt to our values. And that's the best indicator for us that this person might be a right fit with the company. But it's been extremely hard. The restaurant industry is very volatile in terms of hiring and firing. There's a lot of turnover. So it's definitely my number one challenge. So we're implementing group interviews, and we're spending at least 3 hours of the interviews trying to find out if the person is the right fit within the company's culture. So the most amount of time that we spend is seeing if the values of this person really adapt with the values of our company. So we don't have it down yet. It's a big challenge, but we're definitely putting a lot of effort into it.
Yeah, no, it's amazing, and it sounds like that you're doing a little bit, you know, in terms of the context of what's going on in Nicaragua, is that on top of everything else, on top of the fact that you're growing a business, you know, you're helping people get their own step up by, you know, allowing them an opportunity to come into your company and grow themselves and learn and get higher education and do those kinds of things and be more impactful. Does it feel like that's what you're doing?
It definitely does, and it's definitely one of our goals. We really want to make a change in this community. We need a lot of entrepreneurs that want to make a change in this country and get it out of poverty. It's up to us. It's definitely not up to the government. You know, we have to make that change, and we're doing different programs right now. We're working with the university to get a group rate, a very special rate for all of our employees to go into the university, and not only our employees, but their families as well. So we're always doing programs, you know, in order for them to get educated, not only for themselves, but their families. And I think that's the best way that we can help this country get out of poverty and move ahead.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, you're really embodying this notion, you know, one of my favorite quotes is Gandhi is you be the change you want to see in the world. And you're doing that. You know, you're being the change. And I love what you said when you're talking about how, especially in developing countries, but I think that's as true here as it is there, that it's not up to government to fix the problems. It's up to us. And that's what you're doing.
Yeah, at least trying and trying very hard. I hope I'm making a difference, Govind. And I know there's a couple people that work for me that I know I've accomplished that. And but yeah, I definitely, you know, a lot of people point the fingers to the government. You know, you haven't done this, you haven't done that. But it's not only up to the government. You know, we're all citizens of this country, and we're all citizens of this world. And it's up to everybody, you know, to put a little bit into it, you know, work for a better place, work for a better country, work for a better world.
And what I think is really incredible about this is that, you know, this second part of your napkin, love is all, nothing else matters. For you, that's, you know, your passion is in everything. It's not just love of your parents, but it's love of the country, your adopted country at that, right? I mean, you were there at 16 years old.
Yeah.
So love of the country and its people that moves you forward. It's a passion. You can feel the passion.
Definitely, Govind. My business is definitely not the most important thing I have in this life. The most important thing for me is family and the love my family gives. I'm married to an amazing woman. And she gave me an amazing daughter. She's 7 months old. And every time I see them, I realize that the most important thing I have is them. And most of my time should be spent loving them and getting their love. So it's a work in progress. You know, still I find myself working too long and not spending enough time with them. But I'm definitely aware of this, and I'm working very hard in order for them to be my number one priority and spend as much time as I can with them and enjoying them every second I can, because you never know when lights are going to go off and you're going to miss that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that your own story reminds you of how precious every day is.
Definitely. I always have that in mind. I think, I enjoyed, you know, 16 years with my parents, and I know they enjoyed 16 years with me. But you know, we didn't get a chance to say goodbye. You know, we didn't think that was gonna be it. So you never know when that moment's gonna come. So you have to be ready and be at a point that to say that, you know, I'm glad where I am. I'm satisfied with what I've done. I'm satisfied with the amount of time and present time that you've had with your family and with your loved ones. So yeah, I think everybody should be in that position, you know, present with their loved ones and squeezing all the love that you can out of them.
It's powerful. Let me ask you something, Joel. Like, when you think about, when you talk about this every day, I will try to make you proud. Love is all. Nothing else matters. Is that something that you are intentional about focusing on every day? Is this something that you make sure that you make part of your conscious thought? Or is it something that's just in the background?
No, that is always in front of me. Always in my mind, always in my heart. And it's a priority in life. You know, everything that I do, I want to do it 100%, even more, because I really want to make my parents proud wherever they are. I know they're looking at me, and I want to prove to them that those 16 years were enough for me to move along this life. And everything, and then, you know, love is everything. Like I told you, you never know when this is going to be over, and you have to love and receive love. And so everything you do, you know, if, even with the people you work with, if you don't like them, at least, man, you know, get out of there, because you're spending a lot of time with people. And so spend the most time with people that you really enjoy and that hopefully you love, you know. So why waste time with people that you don't love or not even like? So yeah, that's present with me a lot.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I want to really thank you. This has been a really enlightening and amazing conversation, and I think you're a real inspiration for me, for your country, and for entrepreneurs everywhere. Thanks for sharing this time with me.
Govind, it's been a pleasure. I hope we do this again sometime, and I'm honored that you invited me to do this.
No, I'd love to do this again. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
What a powerful, powerful story. I can't imagine being in a foreign country alone, 16 years old, having lost my parents, and deciding not only to stay there, but to make that place better, be committed to making that country a better place by being the change that he wants to see. Incredible story by Joel. Joel, thank you so much for sharing that with all of us. Inspiring. Every day I will try to make you proud. And he talked about not being perfect every day. He talked about how every day isn't the best day, isn't the perfect day. But with every new day, there is an opportunity to do it again. We all get that chance. And it's important to remember that we can do that. We can do anything. If you'd like to join in the conversation, please log on to papernapkinwisdom.com. Also, you can follow along at Wise Napkin. If you'd like to ignite your own leadership journey, you can take the lessons of Paper Napkin Wisdom and bring them to life in your leadership, but also in the leadership of your organization. Go to PNW, so that's Paper Napkin Wisdom, PNW, leadershipacademy.com to learn more. My name is Govind Jayaraman. This is Paper Napkin Wisdom. Thank you for listening.